Hello, friends, and welcome to the show. On today's episode, we sat down with Jeff Andrews and Ray McKee to talk all things Troth. These guys are located in Horse Heaven Hills, and they are making rockstar wine. I love what they're doing, and I hope that you enjoy the conversation just as much as we did. Don't forget, whatever platform you're listening to us on, throw us a like, throw us a follow, let us know you're out there. Cheers. Jeff, how are you, buddy?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm great. We're having difficulties. What do we got going on?
No, it looks like it's working all right.
All right, look at that. Perfect. Ray, you there?
I am here. Awesome. How y'all doing?
We're great. I'm glad to have you on. Like Perry was just saying before we went live, running through the board here, this is something we haven't done in a little bit. We've had a lot of people in store, or we've gone to them. So doing it Bluetooth is something special for you guys.
Awesome.
And it's kind of a bummer. We were going to do it last week, and there's the technical difficulties there. We had issues with the Wi-Fi and, you know, here nor there. But I'm glad to have you on today. How have you guys been?
We've been awesome. Boy, I think it's been a little over a year since we last talked to you, and it has been kind of a whirlwind with everything we've been up to.
Yeah, I've been seeing the progress through social media. You guys have done a lot. You've been very busy. Tell us about it a little bit.
Sure, yeah. So in the last year, we completed our new winery out here in the Horse Heaven Hills. It's a beautiful facility that allowed Ray to make wine in our own facility for the first time this last vintage. So that was fantastic. We released our second vintage of our Cabernet Sauvignon, and we're just kicking off our first vintage of Syrah right now. It's available.
And you guys are, it's a whole new tasting room, right? Is that what I'm seeing?
Yeah, so we don't have a tasting room, but we do have a winemaking facility, and we do have a special members room for some of our elite club members. But really what we decided is that the Horse Heaven Hills and where we're at is so remote. I mean, we're 3 hours from Seattle and about 3 hours from Portland. To really get the traffic through here, it's hard to get people out. So we wanted to focus on production first and just making the best wine we could. And so the facility is really state of the art for that purpose.
How far from like the Pasco Airport are you guys?
About an hour.
So that's not too bad for people if they wanted to fly in and come out and see you guys. And, you know, they could probably stay somewhere between you and Red Mountain somewhere, right?
Sure, yeah. Ray'd put them up at his house.
I can cook, too.
Yeah, be careful what you ask for, gentlemen. Be careful what you ask for.
That's right.
Especially a lot of our people here, huh? They'll definitely take them up on that. The winery itself is gorgeous. I guess that's why I mistook it for a tasting room. It's beautiful. You guys did a great job with that.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm a Scotch fan as well as a wine fan, and I drew inspiration from a distillery, which I would tell you the name of, but I'll butcher it. So I'm not going to, distillery in Scotland. It's a gorgeous distillery that we pulled quite a few of the design themes from.
Well, it's beautiful. I was very much impressed by the Cabernet Sauvignon that we got to try with you guys last year. It was beautiful, and it bummed me out so much that we weren't able to get our hands on it. And then the Syrah is something that I think is truly special, and I think it's very unique for the Horse Heaven Hills. I always kind of think, for me specifically, I think Merlot, it's probably the best place on the planet to produce Merlot, in my personal opinion. But Syrah from there really tends to shine as well. And I think what you're doing, and Ray, you could probably speak a little more to this, but it's almost like you're taking very old world Rhone style Syrah, and you're kind of introducing almost a touch of like an American palate to it. So it's not all that gaminess and funkiness that you would get from Rhone, but it's also not exclusively driven for the American palate either. It's somewhere, it's a nice middle ground for both. Am I wrong in saying that?
No, you're spot on. I mean, it's just a reflection of the opportunity I had to work with a really wonderful winemaker and grape grower from the Rhone and learn really the best. Well, Jeff and Todd as well as a group, but on the winemaking side, I just really learned how to get the most out of your grapes, because I believe some of the best Syrah, Grenache, Morbette, et cetera, come from the Rhone Valley. Just, hundreds of years of knowledge in grape growing and winemaking, and taking those techniques or ideas of how to get the best Syrah into the bottle. But then our growing region gives us a different expression of the grape. We do have more of the freshness and the fruitiness, but those techniques allow your Syrah to ripen fully and give you tons of complexity, which I think is one thing maybe some American Syrahs can lack. When you get them super ripe and, overblown, they become a beautiful wine, but a very kind of primary note. And I think you lose a bit of the complexity.
I kind of feel like Washington State has great like crossover of different styles of Syrah. I mean, you have those vineyards that are, that are all stony and rocky, and then you have some, vineyards that, are more clay and loamy, and that give a little bit more, different, terroir, to each wine, each one of those Syrahs. If I had to say your soil composition there, for your Syrah, what's it like?
It's super fine, sand, basically finer than sand, wind blown, very little water holding capacity. I think our deepest soils are maybe, and on these blocks of soil, maybe 20 inches over broken basalt. But that super fine soil, that's what leads to our expression in the Horseheaven Hills, which is very fine grained sand and talcumy powdery tannins. And if it was grown in a cooler place, you would expect a lighter style. But our region here is very warm. So we get fine tannins, velvety tannin expression, but then inky black color and a lot of tannin available in our grapes. So it's like this cool melding of elegance and power together.
Yeah, and I think that's what kind of makes me think it's a little bit of a meld between old world, new world style there. It's like you said, the color on it, when I poured it out of the glass, I thought, oh wow, here we go. This is a big wine. And the alcohol, I mean, was if I remember correctly, I don't have the bottle sitting in front of me, but it wasn't very low either. But it's very elegant on the palate. It's not overbearing. It's not what the color would indicate, at least at first glance.
14.3.
14.3. Yeah, it's not massive.
Yeah, on the wine side, I'm trying to find balance. And Syrah, when you're growing in the vineyard, to optimize the fruit quality and expression and terroir, et cetera, and evenness of ripening, that's a big deal with Syrah, getting the fruit that it's growing all ripe at the same time. You're actually protecting it from the sunshine with a lot of leaf area. And that also protects a lot of the complex flavors in the grape, which can be burned off if it's lifted up and exposed out to the sun. And that's where you get more of that primary black fruit and bacon and smoke and flavors like that. When you cover them all up, it actually gets riper faster at lower Brix than if you expose it to the sunlight.
Oh,
So
really?
it's pretty wild. Oh, it's a great learning experience to understand that if you grow it in the more shade, it gets riper faster. It's counterintuitive, but the grape really responds to that type of environment.
So can't
So
be
just
made.
to touch on what Ray's been saying, so if you go back on our site to say about 10 years ago, 2012, 2013, we were growing our Syrah, more like you might find someone growing like an Australian style, like a Shiraz. We were really low crop. We would strip the leaf zone, expose the heck out of the fruit, and just let it hang until it was uber ripe. And you get, like Ray mentioned, that really primary one note component, which can make a really beautiful wine. But about 2013, we had the privilege of working with Philippe Cambi and Michel Gassier, Ray in his capacity as winemaker at Saint Michel, and me as a grower for Saint Michel. And to have those people, really, I mean, legends in wine, come out and show us in the field and in the winery, like, you know, this is what we're doing in the Rhone. Think about these different techniques. And over the course of a few years, we totally changed our growing style to what Ray's talking about. And the expression, of our wines changed completely, and I think for the better. And that's how we got to, well, what you had there, Anthony.
It's well, it definitely shows. It's very unique, at least to my palate, and I am someone who prides myself. I love Washington State wines. I love the Horseheaven Hills specifically. Again, like I said earlier, for Merlot specific, but there's so much great wine that grows out of there. I tend to find myself drinking that more often than not. Certainly more than California wines, not for any other reason other than that's my palate. So I think that Syrah itself, when I tried it, it's very unique and it's very well balanced and it's beautiful. And I can't say enough praise about it. But this is your first vintage, and I know that you just said that you had Syrah 10 years ago or so. What's the what just why did this just come up
Like,
for
were
your
you
first
selling
vintage?
those grapes, or,
Oh,
what?
sure. Yeah. So the vines that this wine came from are actually 20 years old.
Okay.
And so for the first almost 20 years of their existence, yes, they're sold to other wineries. And Ray, as I noted, when he was with Chateau Saint-Michel as their red winemaker, he had the opportunity to work with these particular vines in this block on a program. It was their tenant wine program. And that was where they paired up with Michel Gassier and Philippe Cambie to make some amazing Rhone wines. I don't know if you two have had the opportunity to have the tenant wines, but
We have two
they
of them
were
in store
just
now.
fantastic. Yeah,
Yeah.
they're really
Nice.
great wines. And so in 2020, we had the opportunity to pull in some of that fruit for ourselves. When Ray and I had been talking about Trove back in 2018, we knew Syrah was going to be part of the program. We just needed to wait for the right year and the right vintage. And 2020 was a pretty special vintage. Mother Nature dealt us a really nice hand, and we felt like we couldn't ignore it. That was the perfect year to jump in and make a Syrah.
That's awesome. And not to sidestep the Syrah at all, but I saw something when we were talking about doing this last week. I went on and I just did a little bit of further research on you guys, and it looked like you guys had other wines as well. If I remember correctly, you were doing some. Are you doing a Malbec or Carmenere? Not Carm. Or do you have
Oh
a
yeah,
Malbec?
absolutely.
You have a Malbec as well?
So we do, yeah. So we have 26 different varieties on our site, and in any given year, any variety for whatever reason could just be working with Mother Nature, clicking, and have an all-star year. So Ray and my vineyard manager Todd and I take it upon ourselves to go find that variety, find those are one-offs each year. And so in 2019, we made a Malbec. And Ray, if you want, I'll let you speak to why 2019 was awesome for Malbec.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real luxury to be able to decide to make a wine from a grapes once you know it's already awesome. A lot of most of the time you need to be contracting your grapes, a year in advance or longer. So that makes these pretty special because as you see what the vintage is doing to your varieties, you see which ones are going to be most awesome. And then in 2019, Malbec had, I would say, about medium-sized berries. And you guys know Malbec is a big berry variety. So that medium-sized berry basically yielded a very intense Malbec. It didn't get like overly tannic, but the color is ridiculous. And then the flavor profile, and I aged this in 100 in neutral barrels, 100%, so no real wood impact. And then during fermentation, I really extracted as much as I could get out of it because Malbec tannins they're not light by any means, but they're nowhere near as dense as Merlot and Cabernet can be. So I put a lot of layers of the tannin into the structure. And that medium berry size just resulted in concentration and gorgeous mouthfeel. It was a fun wine to make. I love Malbec and its expression. I think it's a red wine lover's wine. If they've never had it, they'll love it. It just has everything people want from red wine.
I would agree with that, absolutely. I do want to, for my dumb brain, when you say smaller berries, medium-sized berries, the concentrated flavors and phenolics automatically make me think that there would be more tannin there. How does that happen that it wasn't over the top when the phenolics, the color extraction was even higher?
Well, I think just as a variety, Malbec just doesn't contain the same quantity of tannins naturally that Cab does. So even if you had minuscule tiny berries, Cabernet still has like 4 or 5 times as much
More
tannin
dominant.
in the skins and in the seeds. Yeah, that's why when you taste Malbec, it's always like silky, velvety. Those are the types of words you get about the tannin. And color's a whole different animal because that's what makes Malbec, I think, that red wine lover's wine, is it's always dark, which is what people love about red wine. And you still get a tannin structure that's really available for lots of people to enjoy. You know, just because people love red wine doesn't mean they love Cab and its expressions with a really big, rich mouthfeel. But Malbec gives you the color and then that velvety, silky, smooth mouthfeel.
I was thinking, a lot of our customers here aren't familiar with you all because, you're not distributed here in Florida unless you're in the club, right? I mean, and so, I mean, you guys have really good backgrounds in winemaking and grape growing. I just give them an idea of like production, like your Syrah. How many cases of Syrah did you make? How many cases of Malbec did you make? I mean, so they kind of know what size you are.
Yeah, we're very limited production. So the Syrah, we have 30 cases available. The Malbec, we made about 40 cases. Our flagship, which is the Cabernet, we make about 200 cases. So production very limited.
Wow.
I mean,
Wow.
that's like 200 cases. Like, what is that? That's 8 barrels. Is that correct? F 10 barrels?
Yeah, that's about right.
I mean, that's the biggest production, I mean, that's kind of interesting. And I think, I think people are always, we carry so many different wines from all over the world, right? I mean, some of them are big producers, some of them are small guys like you. But to have somebody on our show that is, making a barrel and a half of something, or that's always so interesting to me that, this is your passion. This is your love. I mean, this is, this is something you do because you are totally in this for, the art, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely. And I think one of the things that might make us a little bit unique too is while for Trove we're making these very limited production lots, as a vineyard, we have about 1,000 acres of vines in the ground. And so what that allows us to do is say take our Cabernet, where we have hundreds of acres of Cabernet, we can go find the very best walks, the very best rows, and at times flag the very best plants. And those are what we're pulling and setting aside for these limited production Trove wines.
Do you find yourself season after season moving very much from those, rows or those plants? Do you find yourself moving back and forth? Or is there a lot of times, gosh, man, this thing is always giving me some of the best grapes that I can, find in our 1,000 acres?
Yeah, I think for me personally, we always kind of start with the same, okay, this is our zone, right? And while you have that zone that you're going to work within, you still keep your eyes open for something that's clicking in that given year. We have had blocks that in the first couple of years made the Trove Cabernet blend, but in 2020 it didn't make the cut, and another one was exceptional, so that one ended up in the Cabernet. But Ray, as a winemaker, does an awesome job of being out in the field, walking the rows, letting me and Todd know, hey, you guys should probably take a look at this. This could be really special, and we're totally willing to change it up in any year.
And that's, I
Oh,
think, again,
yeah.
to your point, what makes you guys so special. And to kind of circle back a second ago with what Perry said, for a lot of our listeners from all over the world, there is something to be said for, and even on our social media, the way we do that, you're not distributed in Florida. We don't have anything to do with selling your wine at all. We're just fans of who you are and what you do, and we see something special in you guys, so we wanted to have you on and talk about that. That's something that I think gets misunderstood sometimes, whenever we put out an episode or I put out something on some sort of social media, and I'll get direct messages on how can I purchase this, or you know, when is this going to be available or whatever. And sometimes it's just not the case, and that's something that is important to point out here. I think that it's very special what you guys are doing, and we just kind of want to highlight that a little bit. So for those people who do ask those questions, how do we purchase this wine? How would they go about purchasing from you? As I see, it looks like you guys deal very heavily in wine club. How would the average person purchase from you guys?
You're absolutely right. Yeah, the wine club's the way to go. So you can go to Trove.com, register for our mailing list, and then as we do a couple of allocations throughout the year, we'll contact customers or potential customers and let them know, and they have the option to hop on our website and make a purchase. And we can ship direct to, I'm going to say it's 38 states, and Florida is one of those states.
That's awesome. Are you with all of the grapes? You said you've got 26 planted, is that correct? 26 varieties?
Yeah, 26 different varieties. Yeah, that's right.
Is there anything in the horizon that you're wanting to try different, other than Syrah, or something that you see that's special, or maybe even a white or anything that you're working on?
Yeah, Ray, you want to fill them in on
We
what we're going
do
to
have
do?
a white that is it was like a flash release, if you will. It started as I wanted to express to Jeff one of my favorite varieties, Sauvignon Blanc, and we made a small batch of it, and it turned out really good. You know, you conceptualize what you'd like to get on a wine from the grapes, and it changes every year, of course, because it's a natural product. And then that wine came together as close as I could have imagined to what I wanted to show Jeff as my favorite white Sauvignon Blanc. So we bottled it. It was a pretty good hit. We had what, 36 cases or something. And that's going to be a regular now. We have got a really gorgeous, and that's the reason I want to make it. I love Sauvignon Blanc from all over the world. But I walked this gorgeous patch that we put in the ground in 2016, and it's up high at 1450 or 1470 feet of elevation with a northerly aspect. So we're really, and even though we're a hot place, that northern aspect cools it off. It has a big draw at the bottom of the block with some wonderful drainage and keeps good airflow. And I just looked at it, I'm like, man, this could be special. So we made the Sauv Blanc, and it was gorgeous. And then our limited each year, you know, that moves and changes, just not really on purpose, but when you're looking for the absolute very best you can get out of a variety, each vintage is a little different and gives you a little something. The one year was Malbec, and we haven't hit on Malbec again. There's been some really good years, but the vintage after that, we brought in a tiny amount of Cabernet Franc, which is another variety I adore, and we ended up making a pretty neat Bordeaux blend, a Cab Franc, you know, kind of my little love expression to France, you know, and the traditional Bordeaux blends. But that one's, we're 9 months out from that release, but that's our next limited. And then we've got a couple more, you know, or a couple more vintages in the queue, but we'll keep them secret for a little while. I don't want to tell someone what's coming when it's 3 years out, you know.
Fair enough. What's the what the Sauvignon Blanc that you produced? Was it a 100% Sauv Blanc, or was it done more Bordelaise style with a blend?
Oh God, I'd love some Semillon. It's very hard to find anymore though.
Yeah.
But it's 100% Sauv Blanc, and it's in a concrete vessel fermentation, trying to build. I did a long skin soak, just trying to build a lot of texture, and not, I wouldn't say earthiness to it, but a lot of minerality and texture that I love about Sauv Blanc from Loire and from Bordeaux. And it was just some, it took a lot of winemaking, if you will, you know, putting a lot of effort into it, but getting that out was beautiful. So it's got this beautiful palate weight to it, but it's also almost effortless on your palate. So it's not phenolic, it's not grippy, but it just hides all amongst all the bright, bright tropical citrus flavors. It's a cool wine. If you like Sauv Blanc, I'm happy to show you the wine.
Well, we definitely have said that, I think, many times that Sauv Blanc was the wine of COVID for us here. We never saw so much Sauvignon Blanc selling 22 years of being in this location as we did during the COVID months. And that's actually kept going too. We see now that people are really gravitating. We sell lots of white Bordeaux, we sell lots of Sancerre, we sell, Loire Sauvignon Blanc just in general. So that hasn't slowed down at all. So as a business move, that was a great move.
Well,
Thanks. And
cool.
I can just echo and back up what you're saying on the vineyard side as well. We have Sauvignon Blanc acreage planted beyond what we're using for Trove, and the waiting list from Washington State Wineries to get it is like a mile long. It's a really hot variety right now.
Wow.
Well, we do carry a Horse Heaven Hills Sauvignon Blanc from a California guy, so I'm wondering if he's buying from you.
Don't
Yeah.
know.
Bad, they just had the San Francisco a wine awards come out, I think it was what it was. It was huge. And I tried scrolling down by AVA or by state, and then I noticed I kept seeing all these our AVAs keep popping up, by people making wine all across the United States. So that's pretty awesome.
It's great. You're starting to see a lot more demand and call for just Washington in general. I mean, you're seeing a lot of it, which is awesome. For years, I felt like it was almost like our hidden little gem here, something that
I'm kind
we.
of geeky anyway. I mean, I'm gonna go when my friends are in Michigan, like, can you grab me some Gamay? Or when my friends are in Texas, can you get me some Rhone varietals in Texas? I want to try all that stuff, because I want to understand it in some way. And every location seems to have that different style. I mean, it's totally a different style. I'm not saying they're gonna be loved by everyone, but they are definitely making wine in multiple places here in the United States.
Oh yeah, the best Carignan I've ever had was out of like Texas Hill Country. Just blew me away. It's not a particularly, good variety, if you will. I shouldn't say that, but it's hard to make a really nice wine out of it. But I blew me away how gorgeous that wine was.
We've actually had some really like perfect wines out of Texas
Yeah, they've been fun.
recently.
But no distribute no distribution in Florida, so they're just friends are bringing them back for us, and but I think that's the greatness about our business being here in Florida. We can pull wines from all over the globe and taste wines from everywhere, and we don't get stuck into one. It's not like the wine store in Napa doesn't have any Sonoma wines in it. We're lucky enough to have wines from all over the world.
You're definitely living the dream in that aspect. I mean, if I were there, boy, I would have trouble every day not just popping bottles and trying everything.
Well, you've seen my Instagram.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I'm a fan. I'm a fan.
So are you seeing I know you said it's hard to get people to come out and visit you guys for like a tasting room side of things, but you have to have seen some sort of growth over the last, I mean, you've been there forever now, but you've had to have seen some growth in the Horse Heaven Hills recently, right?
Oh, for sure. And with the completion of our winery, and letting our membership know that we are here, if you want to come visit, let us know. We have had visitors, which has been pretty awesome. People from all over the country have been coming out. We don't have a hospitality staff because we don't have a tasting room. So Ray and I are the hospitality team when people come visit, which is a lot of fun to connect
Even
with
better.
customers in that way. For us, it's just great to really get to know our customers a little bit. But the Horse Heaven Hills as a whole has really, as the Washington wine industry has grown over the last, 10, 15, 20 years, the Horse Heaven Hills has exploded in terms of growth of vines and the number of wineries.
Yeah, and it's been really fun to see the varietals that are coming out of there. It seems like over, the course of 10, 15 years, like you said, you think it's going to be dominated by one thing, and then out of left field, you're finding some really fun varietals that are just showcasing so beautifully. It's almost, I hate to use the term Wild West, but as more people come there and different varietals are planted, you're seeing some really fun experimentation coming out of there.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I mean, we've got a customer on the vineyard side that has asked us to plant Sagrantino and Graciano. We're putting in Coonwas for him and Pinot and Carmenere, things that, are not very common. But I think with the unique nature of the Horse Seven Hills, as long as we treat each vine in its own unique way, they're going to really flourish.
Why do you think that so many varietals are doing so well there? Is it just a perfect climate? I know it's definitely on the warm side. Is it just a perfect meld of the client climate and the soil composition there, or what is it?
I think it's climate and soil, but also you have growers and winemakers who are willing to experiment and try new things, and they're willing to really dedicate themselves to learning each variety. We're not just sitting back going, "Hey, this is how you do it," right? If we don't know, we reach out, we find people who know more than us and can teach us a little bit about what to do, and I think that makes all the difference.
Yeah, you seem to have a very great community of winemakers and growers there. It's something that you don't see everywhere, and it's beautiful to see as an outsider looking in for sure.
I think Gray would agree with me that it's one of the best parts about being in the Washington wine industry is the camaraderie and community.
You don't
I definitely.
go
We're
ahead.
also, we're. I mean, if you look at how big the state is, the vast. I mean, we have 1,000 wineries, and those wineries are making a few thousand cases. Some a bit more, some a bit less. But that's just people who are absolutely in love with the grape and the wine, and turning it into their career. And then it's we share, we talk. I mean, we're not competing against each other for our competition, and we definitely are still thriving, striving for that world-class recognition because we know what we have here. It's just harder. It's a long road still to get out to the customer until they recognize you can get just as good of a Cabernet, Syrah, Sauv Blanc in Washington State as you can from the most recognized regions in the world. So, we're all still working together to get our message out there. We don't have to compete. We can, coexist and help each other.
I love that. And again, I don't I think that you're seeing less and less of that, the competition side of things, and more of the rising tides lift all ships, right? That's something that seems to be more commonplace now, and especially in Washington. I love the camaraderie there, and I love the wine there. So I can't say it enough. I love what you guys are doing. I love the region, and I look forward to trying many more wines from you guys and hopefully getting out there and hanging out with you.
Absolutely. That'd be awesome. Come visit
Beautiful.
anytime.
Absolutely. So one more time, that's troth.com.
That's right. Yep.
Troth.com. You guys have social media that they can find you on?
Absolutely. Yeah. Facebook and Instagram's at Trode Wine and also on LinkedIn.
Awesome. Very good.
We
Well,
appreciate it, guys.
yeah, thank you so much. The wine again, beautiful. Love what you guys are doing, and I look forward to seeing what you have on deck in the future.
Thanks, guys. We really appreciate you having us on today.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
Cheers.
thank you so much, gentlemen.
Of course. Cheers, guys.